Well, good morning. Welcome our visitors for sure, folks that are visiting and folks that are back. Thank you. God's good, isn't he? All right, so if you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. If you're taking notes, this would be a good time to get out the old pen and pencil. So let's pray. Father, we do thank you for all the great plans that we have. We know in the Bible that you said that man makes plans, but God directs our steps, and we know that you're directing our steps. You said the steps of a righteous man or woman are ordered by God. So we just rest in that, and we thank you for that. These are your plans, and we just ask you to bless them and use us. Use our church body here this year to help people get saved and born again. Their names written on the Lamb's Book of Life. They're going to heaven. Help us use everything that we have, every gift that we have, to reach people for Christ. Father, there's a lot of folks out there struggling in their marriages, struggling financially, struggling emotionally and physically, and all these things that are going on. And Lord, use us somehow to help people. To help people in our area, in our state, in our world. And we just give this all to you. Lord, we pray for Gary right now. He's not feeling too good. So we pray in Jesus' name for him. And everyone on the back of our bulletin, Lord, we just pray for each one of them. You know each need. Randy and Linda, you know each need. And we just ask that you help them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, so if you missed last week, we talked about, the message was about how to share your faith. So this is going to be probably two or three or four more Sunday mornings messages around sharing our faith. Okay, and this is part two from last Sunday. So last week we talked about two pillars of truth. Two pillars of truth. And one of my preacher heroes, Dr. Adrian Rogers, some of you are familiar with him. Adrian Rogers said this. I know I said it last week, but I'll say it again because I'm building up. Adrian Rogers said this: before you can share your faith, you must have a bulldog grip on these two pillars of truth. He said, if you do not, you cannot be an effective witness. And I agree with that. We talked about that last week, but here are the two pillars of truth that we really have to get deep in our heart, deep in our soul, and really believe these in order for us to be an effective church body, an effective witness, even personally. Okay, here's the two. Number one, who can be saved? Anyone. Say it again. Who can be saved? Anyone. Here's number two. Who can save? Only one. Who can save? Only one. So last week we looked at number one. Okay? Who can be saved? Anyone. And I want to spend just 2 or 3 minutes right here, just like last week. I want you to understand that anyone can be saved. Anyone can rededicate their life and return back to the fellowship and church. Anyone can be saved. Do not give up on your lost loved ones. Do not give up on your family, your friends that may seem to be lost, or they may be lost, but they may be distracted and not going to church anymore. I want you, do not give up. Continue praying for them. Continue believing that the hounds of heaven is on them, right? The Holy Spirit is on them. It is not God's will that any man perish but come to repentance. So anyone can be saved. Amen? I gave you the story about the fellow that I met 15 years ago, right? At Greenleaf at the hospital. I saw him again yesterday. I had the opportunity to work yesterday, and I saw him again. And I was at a different place, you know. And he come tumbling through with his little tray. He was making food, you know, for the patients. I said, hey, we talked and hugged again. And I said, I'm going to get you in the cafeteria, and you're going to share your testimony next time I'm here. Okay, okay. Then he'd probably learn a lot more than I could tell the patients, you know. So anyway, that was kind of cool. I ran into him again yesterday. But this morning, we'll spend our time. Is it too hot in here? Everybody good? Everybody okay? All right, I'm hot up here. I guess it's just me. I'm fired up. I'm excited for you. You ready? Is it warm? It's very warm. Okay, now we have a... You fine, Mary? Let's have a vote. Ready? No. Man, I have a... Sorry, I started it. All right, Jesus help me. This morning we're going to spend time talking about number two. Okay. Who can save? Not Mr. Jesse, right? But Jesus, thank you for saving some of the women there. I see them. I see everybody. I see who sleeps. I see who nods. I see who's playing on their phone. No, I'm just kidding. But I do see, you know, like 90% of the women doing this. You know, so I have to work through my emotions with that. Anyway, now, all right, let's get serious. Help me, Jesus. While salvation is broad in availability, right? We talked about that last week. It is narrow in its source. So stay with me on this. Salvation only comes through God's grace and our faith in Jesus Christ. Now, I know this morning for most of you guys, I'm going to be just brushing off some cobwebs, a little dust. If you'll notice that the apostles, when they preached, they focused mainly, not always, but they mainly focused on the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Because we do understand that as the good news. This is good news. This is what we want to share with people. The good news that can heal their marriage, that can save their children, that can give them eternal life. This is the good news. Peter, when he was speaking with the Sanhedrin, he clearly proclaimed that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, which is our scripture this morning. It says, salvation is found in no one else. I hope I'm not insulting your intelligence by slowing down with this, but we really need to get this deep in our hearts, especially young folks that are going to school and college these days, right? Salvation is found in no one else. Not Buddha, not Muhammad, not Shooky Dooky or whatever the next religious guy that comes up. All these guys, all these religions, all these beliefs, all these theories, all these things. No one else. This Bible verse is very clear. And it goes on to say, for there is no other name under heaven. No other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Paul also, when he was speaking at the synagogue in Antioch, he was also very clear. He singled out that it's Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. It's in Acts chapter 13, 38 and 39. Listen to this verse. I'm going to give you a lot of verses this morning because really I'm trying to build a huge foundation. And the foundation should always come from the Word of God. Right, guys? Not my opinion. If I give you my opinion too much, I might mess you up. I'm going to give you the Word of God, and that's our foundation of our beliefs. Okay? He says, this is the quote, or the scripture. I want you to know. That's kind of like what I'm doing this morning. I want you to know. I want you to know deep down in your heart, in your soul, because it's going to take these two things to be an effective witness. I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through Him, everyone who believes is set free from every sin. John goes on in the writing. He was writing the church at large. He talks about Christ as the only one that can forgive our sins. 1 John 2:12. If you're taking notes, 1 John 2:12, he says, I am writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name, on Christ. My friends, there's no one, no other, no way but Jesus. He's the only one that can forgive sins. Eternal life in heaven is made possible because of Christ. Because of his death, burial, and resurrection. I usually have a cross up here. That's why I was pointing. That's the good news. Jesus even prayed this in John 17:3. Listen closely. This is Jesus praying to his Father. He says, now this is eternal life. Here's Jesus Christ saying, okay, guys, look, this is eternal life. He goes on to say that they may know you, the only true God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Wow, here's Jesus praying for you, me. He is praying for you in the future. Now and in the future, he is praying for you. He knew you before you was even in your mother's womb. And he loves you with an everlasting love. He's praying for you that you would know God through him. And that, my friends, is eternal life. Isn't that awesome? The free gift of salvation is in Jesus and in Jesus alone. In Christ alone. Right? Thank you. I love that song, In Christ Alone. What an anointed song. What a beautiful song, In Christ Alone. See, we must, all of us, everybody with me? All of us must trust Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. This is the good news. Now, if you're a student of the Bible, you remember the story where at one point in Jesus' ministry, many of the crowd were turning their backs on Jesus. And they were leaving, listen to this, they were leaving in hopes of finding another Savior. People do that. People do that. They'll leave the church. They'll leave what they called Christianity in search of another Savior. It never works. It never works. I've worked with people for 30 years as a counselor, working with people who, they'll try that. They'll do that. I've never seen that work for a person in their life. Peter had an answer for Jesus. This is what Peter said. Listen closely. I'm going to read this scripture. Because Jesus really turned to the disciples. He turned to the 12. And he says, hey, do you want to go with them as well? Think about the 12 disciples. He turned to them and said, do you want to go? You want to go with them too? And this is what Peter said. He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Man, praise the Lord. This is what Peter basically is saying. Jesus, we know for sure, 100%, you are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. You are our Savior. What in the world? Where else would we go? What else would we do? I know Peter was radical, but he was right on with that one, wasn't he? He said, what else would we do? Where would we go? And we all know Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through him. Jesus is the only way. There is no way, no other way. And truth is not relative. Remember last week we talked about Cornelius? Peter, and Cornelius inviting Peter over to his house and tell us what you believe. Well, again, truth is not relative. Peter did not say to the Roman centurion. Peter did not, make that clear, Peter did not say to the Roman centurion, well, now, Cornelius, I'm a Christian and you're not a Christian. But you know what, Cornelius? God is a loving God. He loves all of us. We're all His children. So, Cornelius, you have your religion. I have my religion. And we're all going to heaven. We're just taking different roads. Isn't that wonderful? Guys, that is not wonderful. That is not the truth. That's actually a lie. And it's been going on since the beginning of time. I'm sure the devil being the deceiver and deception, the father of lies. But today, man, I mean, I'm talking about, it's really being pushed today. I mean, really being pushed. God is not a pluralist. Y'all hear me? If He were, He would never have sent His beloved one and only Son to die on the cross for us. You see, this is not a popular concept in today's culture, where the most highly prized traits are tolerance and diversity. As a professional counselor, I had to sign a code of ethics that I would not talk to any of my patients about moving away from homosexuality or transgender or LGBTQ now, whatever. I could not talk to them about that. I could not offer them a solution or an alternative. I could be fired. Dr. Jordan Peterson, some of you know him, follow him. I don't agree with everything he says, but I think he's a brilliant man. I believe, this is my own belief, he's a licensed psychologist in Canada. And I follow him, some of you guys do. I believe that he's actually converted to Christianity. He said that with his mouth, and his actions are kind of backing that up. I just read an article. Pete might have read it. Read an article this week that the licensure board in Canada for psychologists have now put the pressure on him that he's going to lose his license as a psychologist if he does not go through some diversity training based on some statements he's made on the internet, YouTube, lectures, conferences. He will not buy into the gender neutral thing that's going on. He actually speaks against that. Psychologically, he says it's terrible. You know? And then he believes in man and woman in marriage. And so now he's at a point where he may lose his. And he's already said, I'm not going through the training. I don't believe it. And he's a millionaire, so he'll be all right. He's written so many books, and he'd get $100,000 probably from a lecture. But still, that's not the point, right? And me, you know, I could, you know. But God said, be wise as a serpent and innocent as a dove. And so the Lord takes care of us if we're not just being stupid, you know, rebellious. Everybody okay? You study the word, you realize that throughout the ages, the gospel has always gone against the grain of the popular thought. Right? It has. There is multiplied proof in scriptures that Jesus Christ is the only way. Matter of fact, I'll say this. I wasn't going to say it, but I'm going to say it. We lost a sweet couple about 2 or 3 years ago. They decided to move on. That's okay. God bless them. because one day I preached against homosexuality. And I thought I was kind. I've always been kind. As a professional counselor, I have to treat them just as anyone else. And I'm okay with that. And I know how to do that professionally. You know, I'm not rude or, you know, beat somebody up. I don't beat people over with the Bible. That never works. You love. So that's been on my heart for a while now, and that's okay. Jesus has got it all worked out, right? I have to continue preaching what the Bible says. But it's very clear. God did not leave this open for debate. That Jesus is the only way. The Apostle John said in John 3:36, he said, "Whosoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life. For God's wrath still remains on him." Later on, John said in 1 John 7, he cleared it up. He said this with certainty. With certainty. He said, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin." That's beautiful. It's beautiful, isn't it? You've been purified. If you're a believer in Christ, you've accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, you believe in the death, burial, and resurrection, and the blood of Christ is applied to our life, and we're okay. You're okay with God. He's not up there with some big hammer going to smack you every time you do something wrong. That's not the way it works. We are covered in the blood of Christ. We're redeemed, as the song says. That's good news, isn't it? That's good news. We make mistakes. Sure, we all do. I do, you do. We all make mistakes. But the Bible's real clear about that. He says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and he will cleanse us from all. He will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's a beautiful thing. We're saved, born again, going to heaven. Just like the song says, nothing can pluck us out of his hand. God said he loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love and nothing. I love Philip Yancey. You all heard me talk about that before in that book, What's So Amazing About Grace. It's a great book. You'd like to read Philip Yancey, What's So Amazing About Grace. It's probably 20 years old now. I don't know. But Philip Yancey said the best definition of grace he's ever seen or heard, I meant to say, is there's nothing we can do to make God love us any more, and there's nothing we can do to make God love us any less. Think about that. There's nothing we can do to make God love us anymore. And there's nothing we can do to make God love us any less. That's grace. I don't understand that. You probably don't either, right? I don't have that ability to, you know, to give that grace out. But that's God. That's God. He loves us. Paul affirms the singularity of salvation. Everybody with me? Raise your hand. Say, "I'm with you." One more time. "I'm with you." 1 John 7. I already said that one. 1 Timothy 2:5. He says, "For there is one God." Now see how clear that is, guys? That's clear. It says, "For there is one God, and one mediator between God and men. It's Jesus Christ." The Lord Jesus is the one and only mediator between a sinful man, sinful woman, and a holy God. That's Jesus. Christ alone in salvation. The Bible went to great lengths. Many, many scriptures to prove this. Now you may say, and some people say this, but you may say, "Well, that's awful narrow. That's awful narrow." You know what? It is. It is. It is narrow. Matthew said that, right? Matthew 7:13-14. This is what it says. "Enter through the" what? narrow gate. It says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. And he goes on to say, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. And only a few find it. The Lord may be calling you this morning to give your life to Christ. Stop playing church. Stop playing religion. It's a personal decision. So what do we understand from these two pillars of salvation, these two pillars of truth that Dr. Adrian Rogers brought to our attention? First one, with God, anyone can get saved. Anyone can return to the fellowship of the church. Anyone can get saved. It doesn't matter what they're thinking. It doesn't matter what they're believing. It doesn't matter where they're hanging out or what they're doing. Anyone can get saved. They can get saved at any place. They can get saved at any place. Anywhere. At any time. They can get saved sitting right there in the church pew. Right there. They can get saved coming down this altar and giving their life to Christ. They can get saved sitting in a recliner or laying in their bed. They can get saved riding down the road in their car or the truck. They can get saved in the airplane, 30,000 miles in the air. They can get saved in the submarine, hundreds of feet below the water. They can get saved in a battlefield or a cornfield. They can get saved in Japan, like I did. They can get saved in Australia, Mexico, Canada, South America, Europe, China, Iceland, the Caribbean, the Middle East. They can get saved anywhere on this planet. Now, if he or she is an astronaut, they get saved on the moon. Couldn't they? They can get saved in a horse barn or a pea patch. They can get saved in the Sunday school room or a Las Vegas casino. They can get saved at the country club or the housing projects. Amen? You keep praying for your friends. You keep praying for your family. You keep praying. You don't give up. You don't give up. But here's the one thing that we can all bank on. We can take this to the bank. They're going to have to place their faith in Jesus Christ. Bottom line. They're going to be saved. It's because of God's grace and the faith in Jesus Christ. There's no other way to be saved. So for us this morning, in order to share your faith, in order for you to share your faith, in order for me to share my faith, in order for you to share your faith, go ahead. Go ahead and get ready, because the next two or three Sundays it's going to be about this subject. Go ahead and accept these two biblical truths. Deep in your heart. And you know that you know that you know that you know that anyone can be saved. Anyone can come back to church and fall back in love with Jesus. Anyone. And then Jesus is the only way. Amen? Now Jesus has already paid the price for the sins of the world. Most folks were just really, really close from having eternal life, from having peace of mind, from having their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and have that eternal security that we talk about. We need to share. We need to share this good news. We met this morning, and we got a lot of creative activities and creative things that we're going to be doing in the next 3 or 4 months. I want to encourage you. Come and be a part of what we're doing. Amen? Do you know Jesus this morning? Do you know Jesus this morning, personally? If you do not, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. So if you're here this morning and you'd like to get saved, you'd like to give your life to the Lord, you know the Holy Spirit's drawing you. So this is it. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna make that decision. I'm gonna listen to God. And I'm gonna get saved. Let's all stand. Thank you. If you want to come down to the altar and pray, maybe pray for someone else that you know needs to get saved. That's fine. The altars are open. If you'd like to come down and talk with me or one of these men or women down here in the front, please come down. Settle it this morning. And I'm going to pray with you right now. Because again, you can get saved right there. Okay, so let's, everybody bow your heads and close your eyes. And if you'd like to pray that sinner's prayer with me right now, just say this to yourself. Say, God, I repent of my sins. I place my faith in Jesus Christ. I believe that He died on the cross for me, and He was raised up on the third day. From this day forward, I'm going to serve You. I'm going to study Your Bible and go to church. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen, right? So if you prayed that prayer, I'd love